Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 276 in the series. It's April 21st, 2018. To my right is the vivacious and effervescent Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
What's going on?
All good. What's going on?
Did you fold and iron and hang up your pajamas that I bought you from last week?
Yes, they have yet been untouched since last weekend.
Very good. Well, we're past our three-year anniversary. We are actually starting our fourth year here. Is that how it works?
And we're still here.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. We're glad to still be here.
We have classic radio shows for you all the way until 2 a.m. tonight. We have a great lineup. Jack Benny start things off in just a few minutes from 1949. He buys a new car, at least attempts to. And then it's Murder at Midnight, a good mystery from 1947. Then Columbia presents Corwin from 1944. So terrific three shows for you all the way to 2 a.m. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. And we have our game to play. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
The movie is Braveheart.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And heard of it.
You have heard of it.
I've heard of
it. And the prize will be a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. You can call right now, 312-981-7200. We'll take the fourth caller, play the game with us live on the air, win some fun prizes. We'll be right back.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-900-5338. That's 1-800-900-5338. 1-800-900-5338.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss, because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently, their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text EDGE to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting EDGE to 85850. Don't forget, that's EDGE to 85850.
Hi, Carl Amari here. During the month of April, log on to ClassicRadioStore.com and digitally download yours truly, Johnny Dollar Volume 1, featuring six 75-minute detective adventures. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar Volume 1, is regularly priced at $19.99, but is yours for half price, only $9.99, via digital download this month only. Also on sale during April is Gunsmoke Volume 1, featuring 12 stories of the Old West. best. Gunsmoke Volume 1 is regularly priced at $19.99, but is yours for half price, only $9.99 via digital download this month only. In May, these two collections will go back to full price, so don't miss them while they're on sale during April. Log on to ClassicRadioStore.com to order, and while you're there, download an episode of Suspense starring Cary Grant absolutely free as our gift to you. That's ClassicRadioStore.com.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's the best of the West, the Northwest, Furbs, that is. Check out all new Chicago's Best this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Alrighty, we have Nancy on the phone. So, hey, Nancy, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, we're glad you made it through. We're happy to play with you. You ready to play a little Cat's Pride Crack the Quote?
I am, right.
All right, I'm going to give you three quotes. All you have to do is tell me which is the right one, and we'll see if Carl agrees with you.
Okay.
All right. All right, this is Braveheart. Quote number one, what will you do without freedom? Will you fight? Number two, if you want to be strong, learn how to fight alone. Number three, is freedom just a state of mind? Those are your three quotes.
I would guess maybe number two.
Number two, if you want to be strong, learn how to fight alone.
Yeah,
don't like that one,
so.
Carl? What do you think?
So. I think it's number one.
Number one, what will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's see. We'll see. We did not mention earlier that Jess Rains is our producer for the night. So Shantae's taking the weekend off. So, hey, Jess, and she's going to play the right quote for us.
What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Well, Carl got it right. And Nancy, luckily for you, you're still the winner either way.
So I saw the movie. It was a long time ago.
It sure was. I don't know how you know that one.
I started it. That's why I knew.
Oh, you were in it. So you knew all of the lines.
I am Mel Gibson.
And you're actually really good at memorizing. So so that makes sense. But Nancy, you've won the desktop indoor weather station. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Congratulations. And Nancy,
Thank you.
Single person who has won this absolutely loves it. And they text, they email, they write, and they say how much they love their desktop indoor weather station.
Thank you. And I enjoy your show every Saturday and Sunday night.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks,
we
Nancy.
Appreciate your listening. And we're so glad you listened to us both nights.
You're
our favorite kind of listener.
I wouldn't miss it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Take care, Nancy. All right. Nancy's a big winner, and all of our
job,
listeners.
Carl.
Yeah, well, you know. When you star in the movie, you should remember the lines.
You should know all of the lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
We have a text in line. It is 312-981-7200. Please text in, because Lisa said she didn't have a nap earlier today, so that means maybe 1 o'clock.
That's true.
I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, hey, Carl, what's going on? So we need you to text in to keep Lisa awake.
Yeah, otherwise I'm just going to take a little nap in the green room.
Siesta.
And what would you do without me here, Carl?
Yeah, no, it's not as fun when you're not here.
Oh, I know.
I will admit that.
Oh, I know.
I will admit that. So, if you have any questions about the show, 312-981-7200. Lisa gets back to everybody that texts. She's amazing.
Well, I wouldn't say everyone.
Well,
but I do read all of the texts, and we do try to communicate, and we do appreciate your comments. We also have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. Love to see your comments, love to see your posts, and you can check out not only our schedule on the Facebook page, but we have pictures of all the stars in the radio show, so you can check that out, and our fun fact.
Yes, indeed. All right, we're going to start things off with probably the best-loved American entertainer of the 20th century, definitely in the top five, Jack Benny. He was born right here in Chicago, then grew up in Waukegan, Illinois. He started his career in vaudeville. He was playing the violin in vaudeville, and he was very good at it. I mean, in the radio show, pretending like he wasn't that good,
right. But
he was really an excellent violinist. And on radio, he kind of played a fictional version of himself, Lisa. He was a radio, TV, film star, but he had a persona where he was cheap and he was never older than 39 years of age.
He sounds a lot like you.
Yeah.
He really does. I think only, you are just the reincarnation of...
Only I'm not 29, not 39.
But you are cheap.
I am cheap. That's why I bought you Neiman Marcus.
You did.
Silk pajamas for last
week. That was very generous
week.
And kind. I will give you that.
You can't call me cheap.
Not last weekend you weren't, but right. You're getting back to it.
His radio show made a transition to television in 1950. That lasted 15 years. So this is a guy that was on radio, TV, film, stage, and we're going to hear his radio show now from April 24th, 1949. He attempts to buy a car on this program. Here's part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny Program. Starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, television is not only here, it's here to stay. And like other stars in radio, Jack Benny is preparing for the future. So now we take you out to Beverly Hills. At the moment, Jack is sleeping while Rochester is going about his morning chores.
Well, first I better clean up the living room. Mmm, what a mess. Television sure has Mr. Benny worried. Every night he rehearses a different act. But he's certainly serious about it. Last night, he even had a dancing teacher here. Imagine him trying to do that kind of a dance. Oh, well, I might as well pick up his clothes and let the air out of the balloons. Isn't that cute? He even put an ironing board up on two chairs and used it for a runway. Let's see, where'll I put these balloons? Oh, hello, Polly.
A pretty girl is like a melody.
Oh, were you here last night when Mr. Benny was taking his dancing lesson? He'll be happy to hear that. Now, Polly, I'll get you some breakfast as soon as I straighten up the... Coming! Oh, good morning, Mr. Mailman.
Good morning, Rochester. Well, there was too much mail to put in the box, so I thought I'd bring it in. Here are the letters.
Thank you.
And here are Mr. Benny's magazines. Body Beautiful. Women's Home Companion. True Story. Lonely Hearts. And this book, The Manly Art of Self-Defense.
Say, I didn't know...
Oh, pardon me, that goes to Mike Romanoff. Well, I must be getting along.
Is that all the mail you have for Mr. Benny?
No, I'm still carrying that letter with postage due on it. But I guess there's no use going through that again.
No, I guess not. How long ago was that letter mailed?
I don't know. It was handed down to me by my father. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, I think I'll take this mail to Mr. Benny's room. It's time he got up anyway. Mr. Benny, it's 11 o'clock. Mr. Benny, wake up. Mr. Benny. Gypsy Rose.
A pretty girl.
Boss, it's only me.
Oh, good morning, Rochester. What time is it?
It's 11 o'clock. I brought you the mail. Do you want to look at it?
Oh, yes, give it to me.
Aren't you going to put your glasses on?
I can't. I broke them last night when I fell off the runway. I mean, the ironing board.
It's all right, boss. I know.
Well, Rochester, take the ironing board down and hide the balloons. I don't want anyone to know about my dancing. Now, let's see the mail. What's this one? Oh, it's from my violin teacher, Professor LeBlanc. Monsieur Benny, as you know, tomorrow I must give you a violin lesson. I will be there unless I catch pneumonia. Please excuse the writing, as it is dark here in the deep freeze. Open the next envelope, Rochester.
Yes, sir. Oh, here's a letter from Max Factor.
Max Factor? What does he say?
D. Dear Mr. Benny, this is the third letter we have sent you reminding you of your March payment is past due. Either pay it immediately or we'll snatch it off your head.
Let him snatch it. It's got moth holes all over it. Let's see. What's this? This is from the California Bank. It's another letter about that loan.
What are you going to do, boss?
I'm going to turn him down. Now, let's see. That's funny. Here's one from the barber shop on the corner. Dear Mr. Benny, we are writing to all of our customers who got shaved here last Saturday. Are you missing an ear? P.S. If not called for in 30 days, we will add it to our collection. Is there anything else, Rochester?
Just the circular. You won't be interested in it.
What is it?
Yeah.
Automobile prices reduced. Buy a new car now and save money. Liberal allowances on trade-in. You know, Rochester, maybe I ought to try and...
I'll get it.
Say, Rochester, no matter who it is, don't mention anything about the new dance I've been working on.
I won't.
Remember.
Coming!
Hello, Rochester.
Hello, Miss Livingston. Come on in.
Mr. Benny home?
Yeah, he's getting dressed. He'll be down in a minute.
Well, then I'll wait. And don't let me interrupt you, Rochester. Go ahead and finish your ironing.
Ironing?
Yes, you've got the ironing board up, haven't you?
Oh, I wasn't using that. You see, Mr. Benny was... Uh-oh.
Mr. Benny was what?
Well, he was getting ready to wallpaper the living room.
Well, back home I used to help my mother paper our house, and Mr. Benny is going at it the wrong way. It seems to me
Well, good morning, Mary.
Well, good morning, Jack. Rochester told me what you were doing with the ironing board.
Oh, he did, eh? Rochester, I told you not to say anything about what...
But, Jack, you should be glad he told me I can show you a few tricks.
What do you know about it?
Well, I used to do it with my mother.
What?
Mama was wonderful. She used to work with a brush in each hand.
A brush in each hand? Well, didn't your father object?
No, if she didn't do it, he'd have to.
Mary, dollface, what are you talking about?
Wallpapering the house.
Oh, wallpapering. Oh, of course. Good boy, Rochester. I'm going to do that later, Mary, but right now I'm trying to make a big decision.
What big decision?
Well, I just received this circular from an automobile company, and I've been thinking maybe I ought to trade in my car and buy a new one.
Well, it's about time. What are you going to get, a Chandler or an Essex?
Oh, don't be funny. I'm going to get a real... I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Jackson. I'm calling from the country club. I thought maybe you'd come out and play some golf.
Well, I can't today. I'm going out and buy a new car.
Operator, you gave me the wrong number.
She did not. It's me. And I am going to buy a car.
Oh. What kind of a car are you going to get, Jackson?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking of getting a Cadillac.
Operator, why can't I get
You've
the
got
right
the
number?
Right number. I told you, it's me.
Oh.
He asked me if I wanted to play golf, and I told you I couldn't.
Well, look, Jackson, I'm running a picture at my house tonight. Would you like to come over and see it?
Gee, I'd love to, but I can't. You see, last night I broke my glasses.
Oh, how'd you break them?
I fell off the runway.
Operator, I wish you'd give me
you
the right...
You got it! You got it! Phil, it's me, Gypsy. I mean, Jackson. Phil... I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry I can't play golf with you. Why don't you call Remley?
I call Remley. He's right here now.
Oh, Frankie's with you, eh?
Yeah, he's sitting over there at the table drinking a glass of milk.
Operator! Somebody else is...
Oh, no. It's me.
Oh. Well, what's this about Frankie drinking milk?
Doctor's orders. Drinking too much bourbon.
Oh.
That caused a shortage of calcium in his system.
Uh-huh.
So the doctor made him drink milk.
So Frankie could get more calcium?
Yeah, that'll make his teeth stronger.
Why does he want to strengthen his teeth?
So he can pull the corks out of the bourbon bottle.
What?
You can't gum them things, you know.
I know. Anyway, I'm proud of Frankie drinking milk. Let me talk to him, will you, Phil?
Okay. Hey, Frankie. Frankie! He can't hear a thing since he got a shave last Saturday.
Phil, do you mean that...
So long, Gypsy. We got 8 holes to play.
All right, goodbye, Phil. I generally play 18 holes, but I guess Phil isn't as strong as I am. Mary, Phil wanted me to play golf with him, but I'm going out and look at some of those new cars. You want to go with me?
Well, sure, Jack, but while you were on the phone, Don Wilson and the Sportsman came in. They're waiting for you in the library.
Oh. Hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
Hiya, fellas.
Hmm.
Well, Don, I know what you're here for, but make it quick, will you? Mary and I have to leave in a few minutes.
Okay. Now, Jack, we've got a wonderful arrangement of Mendelssohn's Spring Song. And as a surprise, we put in a special violin part for you.
Oh, Don, really, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, we can take it out.
Oh, no, I've got the violin right here, under my chin. Just give me the music.
Here you are.
Okay, now, all right, now just a second while I tune up here. One second, Don, I get... Now, let's see, Mendelssohn's Spring Song. Oh, yes, I start it, don't I?
Yeah, Jack.
All right, here we go, fellas. Mendelssohn's Spring Song.
The boys have gone.
Oh. Well, come on, Mary. Let's go downtown and look for a new car. Rochester, we're ready to go.
All right, they're on their way to buy a new car. It's always a fun thing. You should know. You buy a new car every 3 months.
I love buying new cars.
Well, no. When you're independently wealthy, you can
right,
do that
you can
kind
buy
of
whatever
stuff.
Car you want. It's
yeah.
fun.
All right. That's part one of the Jack Benny program from 1949. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. All right. We're going to take a break for news at 11:31. Let me see if this news is sponsored. I don't think it is. No, it's not. It's not sponsored, Lisa.
All right.
It's sponsored by...
By the WGN
sponsored
Radio
by, yeah, sponsored by the Jack Benny program.
There you go.
We'll get back to the Jack Benny program after the 11:30 news. Time for that news with David Jennings.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Win a family four-pack of White Sox tickets Monday morning between 8:30 and 9 with Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
7 what?
720
Are
WGN.
You sure?
Oh, I'm sure.
All right. Okay. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night playing all your favorite classic radio shows. Jack Benny, Boston Blackie, The Shadow, Suspense, The Whistler.
And Murder at Midnight coming
yeah.
up next. Next hour.
Gunsmoke, Have Gun Will Travel, X-1.
Escape.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Suspense.
I said Suspense.
I didn't hear that. My Favorite Husband.
Yeah. How about My Friend Irma?
How about... How about Columbia Presents Corwin?
Okay. How about Lights Out?
How about the Playhouse, Broadway? It's not Broadway Playhouse. What is
Broadway
that?
Is My Beat?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. What about cop shows, detective shows?
Oh, that's
Philip Marlowe, Sherlock Holmes, Sam Spade. What else? Dragnet.
We can do, I don't know. You got it. That's
a lot of them,
good.
Right? Well, we do it all good. Here. We do it all here every Saturday and Sunday night.
We do it all.
We play all your favorite shows. Just tune us in 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning every Saturday and Sunday. And right now we're tuning in to Jack Benny. Let's go back to April 24th, 1949. Jack and Mary are out to buy a car. Let's see what happens.
Rochester, the traffic's pretty heavy. Take it easy, will you?
Jack, what kind of a car are you going to get?
I'm not sure, Mary. You know, all the new models look so nice, and they have so many novel features. Like the Nash, for instance. I mean, the way the seats make up into twin beds. Now, maybe that's what I'll get. What are you laughing at?
You'll have the only car in the country that takes in boarders.
I wasn't thinking of that, Mary. I just thought that maybe...
Say, boss, how long have we been driving?
Exactly 14 minutes. You better start looking for a service station.
Yeah, no time to lose.
Jack, why do you have to hurry for a service station?
Well, you see, Mary, every time the car dries for 15 minutes, the water in the radiator boils over, and then it takes...
That goes all painful!
Stop the car, Roger. Well, I guess we'll just have to sit here for a few minutes until it cools off. That's about all.
Say, Emily, isn't that Jack Benny over there?
Where?
Over there in that Stanley steamer.
Ah. That isn't a Stanley steamer. It's a Maxwell that blew its top.
Then it is my dream man. Steady, girl, steady.
You really have a crush on him, haven't you?
Yes, and you know, Emily, I've got a confession to make. Last February, I sent Mr. Benny a Valentine card.
Did he get it?
He must have. I put it in my laundry bundle.
Oh, does he do your laundry?
Yes. When I think of him ironing my petticoats with his own little hands... I break out in goose pimples.
How romantic. What did you say on your Valentine card?
It was a beautiful poem. I wrote it myself. It went, "Dear Jack, when I think of you this Valentine's Day, I can throw my vitamin pills away."
Well, I'll bet he didn't answer it.
He did, too. He said, "Your lovely poem made me shake and shiver. And starting May 1st, we pick up and deliver."
Martha, open your eyes. I think they're going to drive off.
Rochester, the car should be cool enough now. Let's go.
Jack, the street we're coming to is Figueroa. That's Automobile Row.
Yeah. Turn right here, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Gosh, look at all the automobile dealers on this street. Honest John, the Smiling Irishman, Madman Munts, Psychiatric Sam, Wild Man Pritchard. Ah, here's the place we want. Just Plain Bill. Stop in front of this place, Rochester. Now, Rod, you can park down the street a little ways and wait for us. Come on, Mary.
Okay. Gosh, Jack, they certainly have some beautiful cars on display here.
Yes, I hope this doesn't take too long. I wouldn't want Rochester to get a ticket. He can't afford it. And besides, I have to...
Oh, here comes a salesman.
Where? Oh, yes. Oh, mister...
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm thinking of buying a new car.
Oh, good, good. Were you thinking of any particular type?
Well...
Would you like a hydromatic?
A hydromatic?
Yes, that car comes without a clutch.
Look, brother, when I pay for a new car, I want a clutch and everything. Say, this car here looks pretty good.
Yes, Jack, it's really a sporty-looking number.
Get inside and see how roomy it is.
Okay. It sure is comfortable, and... Say, what are these buttons?
Oh, yes, those are for the windows. I'll show you how they work.
Gee.
Well, didn't you know the new cars had automatic window lifts?
He didn't even know they had windows.
Mary, please. What other new features do they have?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. This is the only car in the market that comes equipped with a Dynaflex super-flowing Unijet turbovasculator, which is synchromeshed with a multi-coil hydrotension duo-vacuum dynamometer.
Gosh! What does that do for the car?
It empties the ashtray.
Well, that's quite a feature. Mary, do you think I ought to get this car?
Well, certainly. I wouldn't think of having a car that's not equipped with a Dynaflex super-flowing Unijet turbovascular, which is synchromesh with a multi-coil hydrotension duo vacuum dynamometer. Dynamometer.
Mary, you've mispronounced the word with. Gee, the more I see of this car, the more I like it. But tell me, Mr.
Call me Plain Bill.
Well, look, Plain Bill. What are all these other buttons for?
Well, they're for the heater, the radio, the lights, and the top.
Uh-huh. But what's this red button for?
Oh, that red button is for emergencies.
Emergency?
Yes, like if you stall the car on the railroad tracks and the train is coming at 100 miles an hour, you press the red button.
And that gets the car off the track?
No, it makes a reservation for you at Forest Lawn.
You know, Jack, this is one of the prettiest convertibles I've ever seen. Why don't you take it?
I think I will, Mary. Tell me, Plain Bill... What's the price of this car?
$4,200.
Say, mister, do the windshield wipers on this car squirt water when you press the button?
Yes.
Well, squirt some on him. He fainted.
I didn't faint, Mary. Just that $4,200 is a lot of money.
But don't forget, we do make liberal allowances on trade-in.
Well, my car's right outside. Suppose you come along with us and appraise it.
Yes, well, I'd be very glad to.
Right this way.
Now, which one of these cars is yours?
Oh, it's parked down the street a little ways. There it is right there.
You mean that blue Kaiser?
No, it's behind the Kaiser.
Oh, the gray DeSoto.
No, my car's between the Kaiser and the DeSoto. Here it is. Well, I'll admit it doesn't look like much right now, but a little paint and polish and she'll be as good as new.
What did you get, boss? A convertible or a sedan?
Nothing yet. This gentleman is going to appraise ours.
Tell me, has this car been in an accident?
No.
Well, then how come it bulges so much in the rear?
Middle-aged spread.
Don't be silly. That's the way this car was built. And it has a lot of advantages that the new cars haven't got.
Yeah, if you like tea, it boils water every 15 minutes.
Oh, stop. This man is a good judge of cars. Now, Plain Bill, get in and I'll show you how it runs. Come on, Mary. Start the car, Rochester.
Yes.
The The motor needs a little... Plain Bill, where are you going?
To get a whip and a chair. This thing is dangerous.
No, no, it'll be all right. Try it again, Rochester. See, I told you it'd be okay.
Do you want me to drive around the block, boss?
Just a second. If I am going to appraise this car, I had better drive.
No, I'll drive. You shovel the coal.
You better let him drive, Bill. He's more used to it.
Well, it's irregular, but okay.
See, I told you, it rides very smoothly, doesn't it?
Not bad.
Now, how much of a trade-in do you think you can give me on it?
Well, now, let me see. A little rubber on the tires. The body needs a paint job. The upholstery isn't too bad. The motor runs.
Look, would the deal include the car's radio? Yes, yes. Now, how much will you allow me on the car, including the radio?
$3.
$3?
You better grab it fast, Jack. The ride's made him dizzy.
I will not. I wouldn't think of trading in this car for $3. It's perfect mechanically. They don't make cars like this today. Everything built to last for years and gives you excellent service. And all the way...
Plain Bill.
Yes?
Lemon or cream?
Lemon in mine, Mary. Mary! Now, Bill, all kidding aside, how much will you allow me on my car?
$3.
But this car...
There is no use arguing. This thing is without a doubt the oldest, worst, most beat-up piece of junk I have ever seen.
What? That settles it. Rochester, stop the car. Plain Bill, I'll thank you to get out. Rochester, open the door.
That won't be necessary. It fell off.
Well, goodbye to you, sir.
Goodbye.
Rochester, drive on.
Yes, sir.
Car's good enough. I can keep it for quite a while yet.
You know, boss, you're not going to get a new car. Why don't you have this one fixed up? Put some of those modern things on it.
Like what?
Like the Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbo Vasculator, which is synchromesh with the multicoil hydrotension duo vacuum dynamometer.
No, no, then I'd have to go out and buy an ashtray. Step on it, Rochester. I want to go home.
Jack, you going to stop off at any other car dealers?
No, no, Mary. I've made up my mind. I'm going home. This car will just have to do until I...
Jack! Jack, what happened? Your hair is gone.
It's my fault, Miss Livingston. I never should have driven by a match factor.
All right, all right. Let him keep it.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day in a Day and the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is the Jack Benny program, April 24th, 1949. Jack attempts to buy a car. Jack and all his gang is heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
I hate when you pay too much for a car.
Oh, I wouldn't pay too much. Only you would.
No.
Yes.
I would never pay too much.
You always pay too much.
You know, we had a couple of people text in and say, hey, you know, that was Mel Blanc doing the vocal sounds of Jack Benny's Rusty Maxwell. And that's absolutely right. In fact, if you are a subscriber to Remind Magazine, which is one of my favorite magazines in the whole wide world because it's all about nostalgia and all about radio and TV and film, you know that I write an article every month for Remind Magazine. And this month, the April edition, I wrote about this very thing, that Jack Benny... He had a Maxwell car, and Mel Blanc did the vocal sounds for it. So if you do subscribe to Remind, check out my article. It's called, my column is called Radio 360. And it was fun to hear Mel Blanc doing the vocal sounds there.
And it was fun to hear Jack Benny.
Yeah, Jack Benny's one of the
that
greatest.
Was fun.
So in the coming 2 hours, we will listen to Murder at Midnight. I purposely scheduled this for midnight, Lisa.
Oh, you See? Are sharp.
Gosh, I'll tell you what.
You yeah. are good.
You want to talk about that's all. That's the years of training at Second City. Yeah. That I
now
had.
This is
my years and years and
right.
years.
Yeah. Well, you learned something.
You know, it's all improv. And it's like, hey, you know what? I have Murder at Midnight. I'll run it at midnight.
Yeah, he's huh? good. Isn't he good?
And then Columbia presents Corwin after that. You know, when we come back here tomorrow, when we come back here at 11 p.m., you know what we have?
I sure do.
What do we have, Lisa?
We have the Fred Allen Show. So we're starting with another comedy. We have Escape Part 1 and Part 2. So it's going to be a two-part escape.
So Part 1 and Part 2 means it's a two-part escape?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you told me that. I had no idea.
I know you didn't. That's why you have me.
I had no clue.
That's why you have me.
All right. So, all right. Well, that's what's coming up tonight and then tomorrow night. And as I said earlier, we're here every single Saturday and Sunday. We have a very cool website that has our schedule on there. And then we have a Facebook page that has the pictures of these stars. Like, for instance, Jack Benny is up there. And then you can see Barry Kroger because he's starring in Murder at Midnight. And then you can see Martin Gable because he's the star of Columbia Presents Corwin. I think it's fun to see the actual picture of the person because in our mind's eye, in the theater of the mind, we see the people differently, right?
Well, we always see you as much taller than you are. So
well, I am very tall.
Oh, I know. In your own mind.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you know what I think we're going to do tonight as well on our Facebook page? We haven't done this in a while, and we have a nice little crew here producing. We're going to do a little Facebook live video.
We
where
are?
We do a little interview with each other.
Oh, yeah?
Those are kind of fun. We're going to do that in a little while so you can check back for
and
that.
How much do I get paid to do that?
Oh, you get a lot.
Lots of money.
You get a lot. I didn't say money, but you'll get a lot. I've got a nice big fruit bowl here.
Yeah.
I might share
Lisa
with
did
you.
Bring in a big fruit bowl. I brought
you know
in.
What?
Look what I brought in.
You brought some
organic
carrots and apples.
Apples and carrots.
And what do you think that means when it's organic? What does that
it
mean?
It just costs more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
All right. So stick around, everyone. 2 more hours of classic radio coming your way. It is midnight. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Time for the news. Here is David Jennings.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, David Jennings. It is 7 minutes after midnight here. Happy Sunday morning to you, Lisa, and to all of our listeners. This hour, it's Murder at Midnight, a good scary mystery starring Barry Kroger from 1947. In our third hour, it will be Columbia Presents Corwin. But right now, it's time for Cats, Pride, Crack the Quote. What's the movie, Lisa?
The movie is A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, I'm going to be 2 for 2.
I think you might.
Because I know this movie backward and
do.
Forward.
A quick note, I'm having some trouble with the text in line. My messages are not going. So I see your text, but we're going to have to work on that and see what's going on.
Okay.
All right, just so you know.
All right, so the number to call to play the game, what do they win, by the way?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
All right, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Call right now. Play the game live on the air with us. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Glenn on the line. Hey, Glenn.
Hang on a second. I'm playing my clarinet.
Okay.
Hi, Glenn.
I'll play the trumpet.
Well, it's Glenn. What's the difference between a clarinet and a trumpet?
Wait.
Pretty much the same thing,
no.
Right, Glenn?
It's all the same. Yeah.
Right, Glenn. It's a wind instrument.
Small black licorice stick.
Oh, that's right.
So you're so close,
no,
girl.
Wait a minute. You're right.
My brother used to play the trumpet, so I'm very familiar.
Well, what is the other thing that's like a trumpet?
Like a saxophone? A trumpet?
Cornet.
Cornet. Yeah. Cornet. See?
Flugelhorn.
That's got it. There's a voice from above. It's sounding a little like Roger up there.
Let's say hi to Glenn. What's up, my friend? How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Ready to win some prizes?
Well, sure.
All right.
As always.
Okay.
Are you done, Carl?
This is Lisa's game, so I have to be quiet. She has to do this. This is in her contract. I get a lot of trouble if I talk over her game.
Well, not only that, but the listeners get mad at you,
this
too.
This is true.
So you've got to know your place.
I don't want the listeners to be mad at me.
Roger, we're glad you're with us, too. We're going to play a little Clockwork Orange. Are you ready?
Ooh, love Clockwork Orange.
All right. The first quote, number one, just smile and keep on walking. Number two, it's best to walk away in silence. Number three, just turn around and walk out of here the same way as you came in.
Well, let Glenn guess first.
I'm talking to Glenn.
Yeah. Right.
I think number two.
Number two, it's best to walk away in silence, which is actually true. I'm going to give you that. Carl, what do you think?
I need him again. Sorry.
Okay. You sound like Roger. Okay. Sorry. Okay, Roger, are you listening?
Well, when you're 100, yeah, when you're 100, when you're 108, like Roger,
you got to hear him twice. Okay, yeah. Number one, just smile and keep on walking. Number two, it's best to walk away in silence. Number three, just turn around and walk out of here the same way as you came in.
I'm gonna go with number one.
Just
I think
smile
we're at one,
and
two,
keep
and three
on
again.
Walking. All right. So Glenn has two, Carl has one, and Roger has three. One of you is right. Only Jess knows for sure. Let's see.
Just turn around and walk out of here the same way as you came in.
That would be Roger.
Hey,
Roger, you won one.
Wow.
I'm so happy for you. It must have been a fluke. But anyways, Glenn, you are the winner, and we are thrilled to give you a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. It is hosted by Mr. Stacy Keach and contains some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. So we hope you love that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in and playing.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate you, my friend. All right. Well, I figured it out now. Trumpet and a clarinet are... No.
Different.
Wait a minute.
Trumpet and a coronet are
trumpet
similar.
Trumpet and a coronet. Okay. And a
flugelhorn. Oh, you were saying a clarinet instead of a coronet.
Yeah.
You usually are just a couple letters
one
off.
One letter off.
No, it's a few, but it's so close.
Couple of letters.
You guys, I'm so sorry with the text in line. We're going to see if we can fix it. I don't know what to do. I'm really, I see your messages and I see your pictures and thank you for texting.
What's the matter? You can't respond?
I'm trying to, but it just keeps, it's like hanging on sending and nothing is sending.
Huh.
Carl, I think Carl broke it, so we're going to see what we can
do.
Could be. So sorry.
It's always my fault.
But
try fixing it with your cornet.
Exactly. That should do it, Roger. With your cornet. Or your clarinet, as the case may be.
Oh, why don't you just blow?
Carl. Carl, this is family-friendly show.
What? Blow the cornet.
Oh.
Gosh, don't you... Roger, she doesn't get my humor. You know, Roger gets it. He's out there
when
laughing.
You throw that high fly ball, you know,
oh,
for
I
the humor.
I get it, but, you know, that was a little on the edge there, Carl.
I don't know. I'm not even going to go there.
Okay.
Murder at Midnight, Lisa Wolf. It's one of the scariest of all the mystery shows.
We're
going
to turn down the lights and we're going to hide under the chairs.
We should do that. This was a mystery horror series, came to ABC Radio in 1946. Raymond Morgan, you're going to like this, Roger. Raymond Morgan, he was a former Long Island minister, and they said, hey, I like your voice. Why don't you audition for this? And he got the gig and he left the cloth for the excitement of radio.
Wow.
Just decided to give up the cloth. It had a 6-year run in syndication, and it had New York's best actors in it, Lawson Zerbe, Carl Swenson, Lon Clark, Barry Kroger. This particular episode stars Barry Kroger. It's called Wherever I Go from March 28th, 1947. Here's part one now of Murder at Midnight.
Murder at Midnight.
That gun won't do you any good. Besides, you're pointing it the wrong way.
I'm pointing it right between your eyes.
That's what I mean. I...
Midnight. The witching hour when the night is darkest. Our fears the strongest. And our strength at its lowest ebb. Midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes. How? You'll learn the answer in just a minute in Wherever I Go. And now, Murder at Midnight. Tales of Mystery and Terror by Masters of the Macabre. Our story, A Study in Crime and Retribution, is by William Morwood. Its title, Wherever I Go. The music room of an old country mansion. Seated at the piano, playing with the skill of an accomplished musician, is Gordon Ormsby. Engrossed in what he is doing, he is not aware his wife, Ellen, has come in until...
For goodness sakes, Gordon, when are you going to stop that pounding?
What? Well, I thought you enjoyed music, my dear.
I do when it's well played. Oh, don't be childish. You might have a little consideration for my headache.
You and your headaches. There's nothing whatever wrong with you. Doctors have as good as told you that. It's all in your mind. The affectation of a silly, rich woman.
Lucky for you, I am rich. Or where would you be now?
Someplace where I'd amount to something. I had talents when I married you, Ellen. I could have been a great musician or a great painter or writer.
You were what you are now, what you always will be. A dilettante, a dabbler.
It's your money that ruined me, softened me up, robbed me of my ambition.
If you hate my money so much... There's nothing to prevent you walking out on it.
I will. Someday.
Not if I know you. You'll stick around as long as I have a penny left. Oh, my head.
Oh, you poor, poor darling. Oh,
I don't expect sympathy from you, but... Oh, when I feel like this, I could kill myself.
That would be too much to hope for.
Wouldn't it be nice for you, Gordon? Little me out of the way... And all my wicked money to spend exactly as you please. But don't worry. I'll live to a ripe old age. Just to spite you.
I'd never thought of it before. Her dying. Never. But after that, I couldn't get it out of my head. There was so much I could do with her money. I could go abroad. Study. But first, I had to get rid of her. It was dangerous even to think about, but I conceived a plan and developed it carefully, slowly, step by step. Ellen, we've got rats in the cellar. I saw signs of them today.
How awful. We must do something about it.
Ellen, have you done anything about those rats?
I ordered some stuff from the drugstore.
Well, there's only one thing that's any good, and you'll have to get a prescription for that. Arsenic. Let's eat home on Thursday, Ellen.
Oh, but it's a servant's night out, and we always go to a restaurant.
I know, but I want to try my hand at cooking up something.
Well, it's sure to be poison, but... All right.
We ate dinner at home on Thursday, the two of us alone together. Afterwards, Ellen complained of a headache and went up to her room. I followed a little later.
Is a surprise.
I brought you a cup of cocoa, my dear, to help put you to sleep.
That's suspiciously thoughtful of you, Gordon.
I'm afraid it's still too hot to drink. I'll put it down here.
What have you done to your hand?
What?
It's all bandaged up.
Oh, I scalded it in the kitchen. It's a nuisance, too. I wanted to write tonight.
What are you working on now, Shakespeare? Your memoirs?
No, dear. I don't expect to die for a while yet. No, it's a story about a girl suffering from an incurable disease who commits suicide.
Sounds morbid to me.
Oh, but it's not. I'm making it very tender and beautiful. As a matter of fact, I did mean to write the death scene tonight. With this hand, I'm... Say, Ellen.
Hmm?
Would you help me out?
How?
Well, I've got the girl's suicide note all set in my mind. But I can't write with this. Would you write it down? While I dictate it?
Oh, do it yourself tomorrow.
Oh, please. It'll only take a minute. Please.
Oh, all right. Where's some paper?
Here.
But that's my very best stationery. I hate to waste it.
It won't be wasted. Ready?
Yes.
Here goes. It's, I can't stand the pain any longer. Nobody knows how much I've suffered. Death will be peaceful. compared to this.
Wait a minute.
What? What's wrong?
You're going too fast.
Oh.
Death will be... What?
Peaceful compared to this. Forgive me for what I'm doing, but this is the only way out. Signed...
Yes?
Ellen.
What?
I named her that, dear, because she reminded me of you, so noble in her suffering. I thought you'd be pleased.
Well, I'm not. You'll have to think of some other name.
All right. Jane.
Jane?
You remember Jane Turner, the girl I was going with when I met you? I don't think she'd mind.
But I would. There. It's signed Ellen.
Thank you, my dear. You don't know how much this means to me.
Oh, my head's splitting.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cocoa? Drink it. That should end your headache. Drink it, Ellen.
Tastes queer.
Well, I couldn't find the sugar, so I sweetened it with maple syrup.
Well, I don't suppose it'll kill me.
Drink it all. Drink it all.
There. Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, the... Pain. Gordon, do something. Why are you...
You won't be long now, Ellen.
You mean
that arsenic you bought for the rats.
You're mad. They'll hang you for this.
No, Ellen. Oh, no. You have left a note behind. It's a clear case of suicide.
You.
I was shaking all over. Yet my nerves had to be steady for what lay ahead of me. My own life depended on it. Music. Music, that would relax me. The piano. I raced downstairs for the music room, but before I reached it, I heard the playing. I pushed open the door. A man was sitting there. A man I'd never seen before, but who was somehow vaguely familiar.
Hello.
Who are you?
Don't you know?
Well, of course not. What are you doing here?
There was nobody at the piano. I didn't think you'd mind.
Well, I do mind. How'd you get in? The door's locked.
Is it? I didn't notice.
Breaking and entering, huh? I've got a good mind to call the police.
I'm sorry you're so suspicious. Still, I realize the strain you must be under.
What do you mean by that?
I'm afraid I'm interrupting you in business vital to both of us. I'll call again some other time.
No, wait. You can't leave like this. At least tell me your name.
I have many different names. When the time comes, you can call me by any one of them. Goodbye.
I put the stranger out of my mind. Too much depended on the telephone call I had to make. A single slip-up now, and a rope was waiting for me. I dialed with shaking fingers. Dr. Sampson, this is Gordon Ormsby. You must come at once. Ellen is dead. I think she's taken poison. It worked out, just as I'd planned, just as I'd hoped it would. The doctor's visit, the police, the inquest, no false moves, no suspicions. I became the sole inheritor of a large estate and a free man. I moved out of the old house and into a hotel suite in town. I... don't know when it started to happen, but I first knew that something was wrong. My fingers would no longer obey me at the piano. Nothing would come. Or rather, nothing but discords. I decided that my nerves were overstrained, that I needed a rest. I figured a trip somewhere would do me good. I went to the telephone to order my car brought around first thing in the morning. But before I picked up the receiver... Yes?
I'm going with you, Gordon.
Who is this?
Your friend. I'll see you first thing in the morning.
But...
Number, please.
Operator, you cut me off. I was making a very important call.
There must be some mistake, sir. There was no call on your line.
I didn't wait. I couldn't. I packed that evening. I slipped a gun into my pocket. I left the hotel. By 11 o'clock, I was far out in the open country, driving west. The night was pitch black, and every mile I burrowed further into the darkness. Then suddenly, a terrible conviction came over me. I knew I wasn't alone.
I'm coming up front now, Gordon.
You!
I said I was coming with you.
When did you get in this car?
I've been here right along.
Oh.
You drive well, Gordon. A cool head and a steady hand. But then you had to have them, didn't you?
What does that mean?
I was just thinking out loud. The money's nice, but music means a lot, too, doesn't it?
Oh.
A pity that went sour on you.
Look, I don't know who you are or what you're talking about.
And yet you proved a point to Ellen. You proved that you were an artist, in a way, even though she couldn't live to appreciate it. Her death was your masterpiece.
The sweat stood out on my forehead. My mouth was dry.
I didn't want it this way. One murder was enough to haunt me. But he left me with no alternative. He knew too much. Somewhere along that road, when the night was darkest, I knew I had to kill the stranger.
Yes, the mysterious stranger seems to know a great deal. Is it possible he knows even more than Gordon suspects about his plan for
murder at midnight?
And that's, oh gosh, that's an organ, Lisa.
Which one?
Definitely an organ.
Which
right
one?
There. That was not a piano. That was an organ, 100%.
Earlier, we had a clarinet. Or a cornet. It's
or
the
a
same thing.
Flugelhorn.
I think we decided that a clarinet, cornet, organ, it's the same instrument.
All the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the first portion of Murder at Midnight with Wherever I Go, starring Barry Kroger. More after these words.
Youth sports are powerful, even life-changing. But they can also be expensive, leaving some kids on the sidelines right here in the Chicagoland area. Good Sports is helping to level that playing field by providing equipment to underserved youth. If you know of any youth sports or fitness programs within schools or outside of school that could benefit from brand new donated sporting goods, please visit goodsports.org to learn how to apply. That's goodsports.org.
All right, so what do we got? News here?
It's 12:30. That would be with Roger Badish.
Well, it's not quite 12:30 yet.
Well, it's past 12:30.
But Roger's up there. He's ready. You know,
hey, Roger.
Roger is a professional.
Oh, I know.
I don't know
what dictionary you're using.
Let me tell you something. This is a true story. When we first started 3 years ago, I had no command of this time thing at all.
It wasn't Roger that you
sent
it to that
time. No, I know.
Time.
It was. Hang on.
I'll think of it.
Hang on.
First name is?
It was Steve Ruxton.
Very good.
Yep.
Steve Ruxton was up there, and it was like the first or second week.
It was early on.
Maybe early on.
You know, first or second year.
And it was literally like about 12:23.
Yeah.
And I panicked.
We were nervous.
And so I sent it up. So I said, and now for 12:30 news... At 12:23.
Steve Rushkin.
Steve Rushkin.
Oh, nice.
I've told this story before.
Yeah.
And Steve, nicest guy in the world, and I just could never say his name. I don't know if it was a mental block or just I'm mental, but I couldn't say his name.
Well, first of all, he would pause right before it, and now the news with, and I would be already on the floor before he said it, knowing full well that it was going to be messed up. I just didn't know in what direction.
One time.
So I sort of waited for it.
Yeah. As it was, I did say it right once in a while.
Once in a while, okay.
But here's the thing: the best part was that was a funny one because he was like caught off guard. But he's a professional, so he was like you, so he was able to do it. But one time I said his name so badly,
it wasn't even close.
Worse than I did before. I mean, like, even worse.
Right? I had tears. I left the room, Roger.
So
I left the room.
I said his name, you know.
Sort of.
And then there was this pause. Like, there was literally 3 seconds of dead air.
That's a long time in radio.
And then here's what it sounded like. You ready?
Okay.
Steve, and I say it wrong. Now, ready? Here's the actual pause. Okay.
That's what he says?
Yeah. And then he read the news.
And then we never saw him again. What the heck happened to him?
He didn't want to work with me.
I know, neither do I, Carl.
He didn't. That poor man didn't want to work with me.
So he left WGN.
I owe him a huge apology. And this is sort of my way of apologizing.
He's not listening
if
to
he's
you.
Out there,
oh,
Steve.
He does listen.
He's
still.
A great yeah. guy.
He's on my Facebook.
Mm-hmm. He's a great guy.
I'm going to tell him what you said.
I never ever meant to say his name wrong.
I'm going to send him a Facebook
kind of a
message
mental
right now.
Block about
actually,
it.
Actually, I shouldn't speak out of turn, but. Carl. But you're the reason, according to my conversations with Steve.
Yeah.
That you're the reason that he got out of radio.
Oh, we know that.
Yeah. I just...
I mean, do you blame him, Roger?
I promised I wouldn't say this.
Roger,
but,
do you blame him?
No.
No. Roger, stay with us a little longer. I promise we'll try
I'm
harder.
I've always said your name right.
Well, sure, but I answer to anything.
So did he, apparently.
All right, well, it is time for the WGN News at 12:32. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish. And thank you, Bill Curtis. And thank you, Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Carl Amari.
Yeah, I really appreciate all you do, Lisa. You make me laugh. I tell you what, folks.
We do laugh a lot here.
Lisa cracks me up. You have no idea the personality this woman has. She's so funny. She's
we have some fun.
She's naturally funny.
Funny looking.
Funny
right?
Like how? Like I'm a clown?
Funny. Like, do I make you laugh?
Yeah,
do I,
like
do
what?
You laugh? Like
what? What? Am I a clown?
What am I a clown?
What movie is it? You know what movie that's from, Lisa?
Yes, Carl.
What movie?
Carl, stop it.
Come on. Do you know?
Come on, stop it.
She doesn't know.
Yes,
Roger.
I do. Carl.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. What do you want to
hey,
do?
She don't know.
Hey, she don't know.
She pretends like she knows.
We'll have to take her for a ride.
But really, she doesn't know.
I don't know anything. It's all right. A big guys.
Nah, I believe she knows.
By the way, the story that you guys are playing.
Right?
Very
it's a good
scary.
One. I know.
Should we get back to it?
I think so.
All right, let's get back now to Wherever I Go on Murder at Midnight.
And now here is Gordon Ormsby to continue our story.
I knew what I was looking for. A lonely stretch of road with no sign of life. At last, the headlights found it. A valley, with trees growing down to the edge of the road. The stranger seemed asleep, but he stirred as I jammed on the brakes.
Hey, what's wrong, Gordon?
Must have a flat. The wheel feels funny. Would you mind having a look?
That would be very unwise for me.
Why?
You have a gun in your pocket. I would make a perfect target out in the headlights.
Well, since you're so suspicious. Here, take it.
You amuse me, Gordon. However...
How do they look?
All right on this side.
I'm sure it's one of the front tires.
I'll see the other side.
I got him. He was standing squarely in front of the radiator when I got him. Just to make sure, I backed the car over his body. I dragged him across the ditch and into the woods. I dug a shallow grave with a tire iron, hacking in among the roots and the rocks. And then I covered him over. I got back into the car. I needed a drink. And when I came to a juke joint along the highway, I stopped.
All right. What's yours, mister?
Scotch, straight.
You been driving hard, mister?
Why?
You look all in.
Give me another shot. No, wait. Look, I'll buy the bottle.
I don't know as one to sell. You know, scotch is hard to get around here.
I'll pay for it. I took the bottle over to a booth and began putting it away. I felt better. Warm inside. It's going to be all right after all. The stranger was dead, and they'd never find his body. I was in the clear with nothing to worry about.
Help a poor blind man. Help a blind man.
There was something about that blind man's stick that got on my nerves. He came up to my table.
Help the old blind man, please.
Get away from here.
Please, sir, if you'd be so kind.
Will you get away?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I don't want any favors from anyone.
I said beat it. Oh. Hey.
I'm going, but you shouldn't have done that.
What's going on here? What's the idea of shoving Nettie?
He was annoying me. Then I saw him. He had the blind man by the elbow and was leading him toward the door. The stranger.
What's the matter with you, mister? What are you staring at?
There. Don't you see him?
Oh, blind Ned? Well, sure.
No. The man with him, opening the door.
There's nobody with him. Blind Ned don't need nobody. He's been going in and out of here by himself for years.
But it was he. I knew it was. I'd killed him, buried him, and... Well, was he dead or wasn't he? I had to know. I drove back up the road. There were the trees and the broken weeds and the ditch through which I'd dragged the body. And I walked carefully among the leaves, searching for the grave.
Hello there.
What?
What you doing?
Oh, who are you?
State trooper. Saw your car parked down the road, followed you in.
Well, I'm looking for my watch. I lost it here this afternoon at a picnic. I didn't realize it until I got home, so of course
sure,
I turned around.
Sure, I'll help you.
Oh, no, please don't bother.
No bother. I got a flashlight here.
Well, it's awfully nice of you, but I don't think...
Hey, what's this?
What? Where?
Ground's all scraped up into a... Looks like a grave.
Well, what would a grave be doing here?
That's what I'd like to know. Give me a hand, will you? Fresh dirt and rocks digs easy.
Why?
What's the matter? Scared?
Oh, no. It's just that...
Down to the bottom, anyhow. Oh. Well, I'll be...
What is it?
It's a grave, all right. But if there was ever a body in it, it's gone now.
I had only one idea after that. To get away. To get away as far away as possible. I drove like a wild man the rest of the night and all next day, stopping only for gas. Finally, I just couldn't drive any farther. I stopped at a small hotel and went up to the desk to register.
Sign here, please.
I'm driving across country and I've got to start first thing in the morning.
Certainly, Mr.
Hornsby.
Hornsby, Arthur. What time would you like to be called?
At daylight. And another thing, I don't want to be disturbed under any circumstances.
Yes, sir.
That's important. No matter who wants to see me, on what excuse, I don't want to be disturbed.
I understand, Mr. Ormsby. Now, if you follow the boy together.
The elevator doors were just closing when I saw him. He'd come in from the street and was walking across the lobby to the desk. I reached my room, dismissed the bellhop, and locked the door. With a shaking hand, I picked up the telephone.
Yes, clerk?
This is Mr. Ormsby. I thought I recognized a friend of mine in the lobby. A man about the same height and build as myself, dressed in a gray suit.
I'm afraid...
Well, he came in right after me. I haven't seen him in some time, and I've forgotten his name. Would you mind looking in the register and telling me what it is?
Just a minute now, look. Here we are. Your signature, Mr. Ormsby, and then...
Yes?
Sorry, sir. There is something, but the name's blotted. I can't make it out.
I knew now there was no escape. I took the money from my billfold and piled it on the table. I examined my revolver to make sure it was loaded. And then I sat and waited. A few minutes before midnight, the knock came. Come in.
Hello. You act as if you were expecting me.
I was. The only thing I'm not sure about is what you want. Or rather, how much.
You should know.
All the cash I've got's on the table. Nearly $500.
Ellen left you a good deal more than that.
All right, I'll write you out a check. Name the amount.
Everything you possess.
What? You're crazy. Do you honestly think, after the risks I took, the risks I'm still taking, I'd give everything away to a cheap blackmailer?
Murder is an expensive hobby, Gordon.
Well, not that expensive. If you want to be reasonable, say $50,000.
I'm afraid there's no compromise. And I'm not just talking about money.
Listen, this is your last chance. $50,000 or...
Or what, Gordon?
Or you don't leave this room alive.
You tried to kill me once before. Remember?
I lost my head. The car only stunned you, and I didn't make sure that you were dead. It'll be different this time.
It's always going to be different, isn't it, Gordon? When you disposed of Ellen, you were going to lead such a rich, beautiful life. Mm-hmm. But what happened to it? Your music went. You couldn't play.
You shut up.
And then your heart went. You struck out at an old blind man.
Listen, you.
There isn't very much left now, except your mind. And that's starting to go, too. Sometimes you see me, sometimes you don't.
I see you now. Large as life. But do you see this?
That gun won't do you any good. Besides, you're pointing it the wrong way.
I'm pointing it right between your eyes.
That's what I mean.
But you... He was gone. Yes, gone. Nowhere in the room. Then I heard the rapping of the door. In a daze, mechanically, I opened it.
Anything wrong, mister?
What? Who are you?
The house detective. I thought I heard...
Oh, you must have seen him. He must have run past you in the corridor.
Oh.
The stranger, the man who was in my room.
Oh, I did. Hey, be careful of that gun.
Well, I had to shoot him. He was threatening me. He was standing over there when I let him have it.
Oh, yeah? What did he look like?
He's about my height and build, wearing a gray suit.
Like the one you're wearing?
Huh? Oh. Oh, yes.
I thought so. Look.
At what?
The mirror. You shot at your own reflection.
You mean...
Now do you know who I am, Gordon?
There! Didn't you hear him?
Hear what? What are you talking about?
No. No, you wouldn't hear. Only I would. And now I do know who and what he is. I know why I couldn't escape him. Here. Here, take this gun. I want to give myself up.
Give yourself up?
My name is Gordon Ormsby. I killed my wife. I poisoned her. I made it look like suicide. And there never was any trial.
Oh, I get it. Sure,
it was a perfect
sure.
crime. At least I thought it was a perfect crime until he came into the picture.
Now, don't you worry about it one bit, Mr. Ormsby. You just come
minute.
Along with
wait
me.
Wait a minute. You think I'm making it up. And I'm crazy, don't you?
No,
you
no.
do think so. But it's true. Every word of it.
Sure, I got a good friend who's a doctor. You tell him
doctor.
All about...
Doctor? No. No, he won't believe me either. Nobody will believe me. They'll all think that I'm mad. And oh, don't you see? That's why I have to give myself up. Because that's the only way I can get away from him. If you hang me. But if you don't...
They won't, Gordon. They'll put you away. And wherever you go, I'll be there, too. Remember that? Wherever you go...
Taking him firmly by the arm, the detective leads the struggling Gordon out into the corridor. The corridor that grows darker and darker until it is completely black. Somewhere in that blackness, a voice is whispering. Whispering. And it continues to whisper until it is drowned by a clock striking 12 for...
Murder! At midnight.
Remember to be with us again when death whispers softly in the night and the clock strike 12 for
murder at midnight.
The part of Gordon Ormsby was played by Barry Kroger. With music by Charles Paul, Murder at Midnight was directed by Anton M. Leder.
Oh, boy. There you go. Murder at Midnight with Wherever I Go, starring Barry Kroger, from March 28th, 1947, heard on Mutual. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
Okay, so Ryan Nobles from CNN joins the Steve Cochran Show for an update on the political climate in D.C. Monday morning at 7:40 on 720 WGN.
All right, Lisa.
All right, Carl.
So what do we have? Two more commercials before the top of the hour? No. Oh. Ah, gotcha. Oh, all right. I was just looking at this clock here, and it's saying different things. So the text line's not working. This clock looks like it's a little goofy. My blood pressure is up.
It's all Curtis's fault.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. It could be.
So, I don't know. There's no text coming through. There's no text coming through. And I know that that's not
people are texting us and we're not able to read text.
I'm sorry, just so we know.
You know what? Live radio. That's what happens.
That's okay.
You remember, you know what, Lisa? When I was in college and I studied to be an astronaut, you know, back then when I took up space. Mm-hmm. I remember always wanting to be a broadcaster.
Yep.
You know?
And your dream has come true.
And it has come true.
But I know.
You know,
I wasn't
being
facetious.
And you know why it's come through? And this
is
true.
Hard work and perseverance.
Hard work and perseverance.
And a little bit of luck. And like they say in My Fair Lady.
And not telling anyone where the bodies are.
Yep. And you know what, Roger? And I know you probably did this too.
Of course.
You probably had a Radio Shack mixer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a Radio Shack cassette player, sure. Probably, and a little mixer, right? Mm-hmm. Had a little microphone in your
basement.
I
didn't go that far. You know what I did?
What?
Little cassette recorder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
like it was built in.
Like a realistic.
Was it realistic? You plug it in.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember the old record players where it was portable, the speakers would flip out from the sides, and the turntable would flip down? Do you remember that? This is before your time. Sorry about that. So, yes, I'm old.
So what did you do?
Well, I used that and moved the speakers because you could detach them. And I moved the speakers off away from the turntable, stuck the microphone in between, and would record songs and talk into the microphone over the beginning part.
Right.
And that's how
like
I would record my own mixtape.
You were a DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, what I used to do was I had I'm trying to remember now, I'm pretty sure it was a realistic, you know, just like, you know, you'd hit play and record.
You push both buttons down at the same time.
Play and record at the same time. Yeah. You had to be coordinated.
Yeah, use two fingers.
Right. Nowadays, you just press one button, you know, just record.
You don't even have to say it.
You just say it.
You just say it.
Back then, you had a Radio Shack. I had a little radio. It was called Realistic.
Right.
And you buy those little cassette tapes, like three in a pack.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they would always break.
The cassette.
And I would have to take little pieces of tape and tape them together and take a screwdriver and open up the cassette.
That's right. And how did you turn the tape?
With your finger.
No.
I stuck my finger in there.
No, a pencil.
No, you know what
I my finger.
Yeah, pencil would work too.
Right. In fact, you actually needed two of them because
you had to have
one to press in one of the levers that would allow the tape to go back and forth and not just
I lost him too.
What?
Yes.
Okay, so anyway,
I know what you're talking about.
So what I would do is when someone had, you know, I was collecting these classic radio shows, and at the time it was on cassette, and then I started collecting on reel to reel. Oh, I could tell you stories about the reel to reel days.
I'm sure you could.
And cutting tape with the reel to reel and the razor blade,
the splicer,
and all that.
The grease pencil.
Yeah, and I had Studers.
S-T-U-D-E-R.
Yeah, Studer reel to reel. Yeah, but way back when, and I'll never forget, and here's what happened. I would tape shows off of Chuck Shaden, you know, Chuck Shaden's radio show, right?
Ooh, now and the truth comes out.
I'm talking about when I was, 13 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had a radio and then I had the cassette deck and I would have the microphone by the speaker.
Right.
Because I wanted to tape these shows. And my sister Angela, Uh-oh. She used to come downstairs, and I was always by myself. I'd get up real early in the morning.
You're always by yourself.
Yeah. Nobody ever wanted to play with me.
It explains a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I get it.
And she would come down, and she would be like, well, I'm blowing my hair dry now. And I'm like, Jolo, please
while
don't.
You're on the air. How dare she?
I'm taping this, and it would be in the middle of a Boston Blackie episode or something, and then you'd hear the dryer, the hair dryer.
Sure, sure.
And she'd ruin my Boston Blackie radio show.
Are you still mad at her?
No, okay. I've forgiven her.
Well, see, what I used to do is call into radio shows wait for me to hear my voice on the air, and then I would hit the play and record so I could hear my voice saying, oh my God, I won, thank you, that kind of thing.
Did they ever tell you to please turn your radio down?
No.
Oh, really?
No. I just hit play and record just so I had, you know. Anyways, one mention, we got a great text. It says, love your show. I'm only 14 and I listen every night, all 3 hours.
That's so nice.
So great. How great is that? Yeah.
Enjoy being 14.
Yeah,
gosh,
exactly.
I'm 19 and I feel old.
Yeah, way older.
So old.
Maybe, yeah. All right, I'll leave that alone.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. When we come back, it's Columbia Presents Corwin. Here's the 1 a.m. news with Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
8 minutes after 1. Thanks, Roger. All right, in this hour, it's Columbia Presents Corwin. You're going to like it. It's from 1944, and we're going to play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
The movie is Toy Story 3.
I'll never get it.
I know.
The number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
A Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Call now. Be the third caller, 312-981-7200. Play the game with us. We'll be right back.
Now we're talking about him. Now we're talking about her. Now we're answering phones. Now you're talking to us. Now you're yelling at us. Now we're friends again. Now we have a story.
Breaking news coverage.
Now we have the traffic.
WGN traffic.
Now Tom Skilling is telling us the weather.
We're tracking the latest storm.
Now we have the news.
Now we have the news.
Now we're thinking. Now we're remembering.
WGN Chicago.
Now we know. Now you know. WGN Radio lives in the now.
Free furnaces, free air conditioners.
What's this crazy talk from my husband, Dick Hochschild, owner of American Weathermakers?
I was just making the point, Elizabeth, that I hear so many ridiculous offers.
You're right. At American Weathermakers, we don't need misleading offers. We have the best service and honest pricing on the top furnace and air conditioner brands every day.
While other companies shout about low prices and free giveaways, American Weathermakers has quietly become the best heating and air conditioning value in Chicagoland.
And I love that customers trust our American Weathermakers 60-minute men to come to their rescue.
If your furnace or air conditioner breaks down, day or night, we'll be there in 60 minutes or you get a free $60 gift card for repairs. And we never charge for travel or overtime.
You'll fall in love with American Weathermakers, too.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll-free.
855-955-HVAC.
Or visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com.
For more than 40 years, Nostalgia Digest has been devoted to celebrating the golden age of entertainment. Published four times a year, each 64-page issue is filled with articles about the golden age of radio, television, movies, and music. And now, Nostalgia Digest includes the broadcast schedule for the WGN Radio Theater. Now you'll never miss your favorite classic radio shows presented here every Saturday and Sunday night, because you'll know exactly what we're playing well in advance. A one-year subscription to Nostalgia Digest brings you four issues for only $17. But if you subscribe for 2 years and note WGN when ordering, you'll receive eight issues for only $30. And you'll receive a four CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas, a $27.99 value, absolutely free. Log on to NostalgiaDigest.com, order a 2-year subscription, and write WGN in the ordering instructions to receive your CDs with your first issue. Log on to NostalgiaDigest.com. That's NostalgiaDigest.com.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Carl Amari. These classic radio shows are direct from master recordings and digitally remastered. We license these classic radio shows from the owners and estates for the privilege of using their master recordings as our source material so that we can pass that great sound quality on to you. Oh, you can find classic radio shows sold on the internet from companies that are not authorized to sell them, but you'll often be disappointed by the inferior sound quality. If you enjoy listening to and collecting great sound quality classic radio shows, we've set up a website just for you at classicradiostore.com so you can enjoy them anytime, anywhere. Log on to classicradiostore.com to download your favorites to your smartphone, computer, or any listening device. We offer thousands of digitally remastered classic radio shows, uncut and unedited, including the original commercials, delivered to you instantly via digital download. Log on to classicradiostore.com. That's classicradiostore.com.
Get to know Joe. Starting Monday, Joe Donlin joins Micah Mater on WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. That's starting Monday.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
There's another dollar.
I was thinking the same thing. $3 for tonight. We've got Tammy on the phone. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I just want to let you guys know I so enjoy listening to you.
Aw.
It just makes my night.
Aw, Tammy,
well,
thank
you. Know
you.
What? You just made our night by telling us that.
You
so
know what?
Thank
I like
you.
Listening to you, Tammy. You could say it again, how much you like listening to us.
Okay, I will.
No. We're going to play a little Crack the Quote. The movie is Toy Story 3, and you ready to go?
Don't listen to me on this one, Tammy. I've never seen any of these.
Okay. Are you just got it's, just go with your hunch, right? Your
yeah.
first okay. hunch. Okay, number 1. It hurts, but it's okay. I'm used to it. Number 2. No owners means no heartbreak. Number 3. Some days are just bad days. That's all.
Hmm.
I saw the movie.
What do you think, Tammy?
It's bittersweet.
Okay.
What felt right?
I think it's number 2.
Mm-hmm. Note number 2 is no owners means no
yeah.
heartbreak. You
I
like
think,
that one?
I like yeah. that one.
What do you think, Roger? Do
I'm
you agree?
I'm sticking with Tammy.
Wow, this
one.
Might be all in.
All in for number
yeah.
2?
All right.
All right, let's hear it.
No owners means no heartbreak.
There you
no.
go. It was unanimous. And you won, Tammy. You've got the Twilight Zone, the 4-CD set, and it is... hosted by Stacey Keach, and it is wonderful. Many hours of enjoyment, so I hope that you enjoy that.
I do. And can I just say something really quick?
Sure.
Okay. My husband and my mom are both born in May. One's in was born in 43, and one was born in 49. So I'm going to email or like Facebook you guys, because I want to do something special this year, and I think you guys can help me with that.
All right.
We would love to.
Sure.
You're on Facebook. You can check. You can message me at WGN Radio Theater Facebook, and I will do anything I can to help you.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tammy. All right. Tammy's a big winner, and our listeners are big winners, because we're going to tune in to Columbia Presents Corwin. Now, this was a drama series that was produced, written, directed by Norman Corwin. He was often hailed as the Poet Laureate of Radio. He began his career as a journalist and eventually became one of CBS's most important writers before World War II. And in 1941, he wrote, produced, and directed 6 months of broadcasts on the Columbia Workshop, marked as 26 by Corwin. So in 1945, CBS gave him his own show, Columbia Presents Corwin, offering patriotic dramas mixed with light comedy. And I was very, very fortunate to know Norman Corwin over many of his years. And when I started licensing these shows, he licensed me these programs, and I met with him a couple of times. He was just the nicest, sweetest man. I believe he lived to be 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, great, great guy. Let's tune this in now. This is called, as a broadcast, called New York, A Tapestry for Radio. It stars Martin Gable. It's from May 16th, 1944, part one now of Columbia Presents Corwin.
Orson Welles in Norman Corwin's New York, A Tapestry for Radio. Tonight, in the fourth of a limited series of 8 broadcasts for CBS, Norman Corwin is privileged to bring you Orson Welles as narrator of one of the most widely requested of all Corwin's programs, New York, A Tapestry for Radio. The original musical score is by Frederick Steiner, and the orchestra is conducted by Lud Gluskin. Orson Welles in New York.
The time on the four-faced Paramount clock says in quadruplicate that it is 10 o'clock. And so good evening to you, Queen of the Hemisphere. 4 times good evening. And by this time tomorrow, may the enemies of all free men's cities be more desperate and damned than ever. End of salutation. Let us acknowledge that you have a handsome profile, City of New York, and get that over with. Long ago, you were voted the city most likely to succeed. And tonight, the 12th generation of Americans salutes you with special reference to the populace, which takes you for its lawful address. The Manhattanese, Brooklynese, Astorians, Jamaicans, Bronxites, who think the rest of the world is all right to visit, but who wouldn't want to live any place but here. This tapestry, being dimensioned by a half hour of your time and the arbitrary limits of the city, has for its warp the avenues, and for its weft the crosstown streets. The shuttle, traveling back and forth, as you'd expect, between Grand Central and Times Square. As for loom, that's what ships do on the horizons of the city practically continuously, in which connection, God bless our Navy and the ships of the Merchant Marine, as well as the Port of New York Authority and sailors of the National Maritime Union, 346 West 17th Street. So much for shuttle, loom, and weft. Regarding individual threads, you will have to follow them by listening acutely. For there will be excursions and motifs, snatches of native song and speech, time signals, bulletins, reflections, and footsteps. To say nothing of the retirement of batters at first base, and of ballerinas from ballet at the age of 40. However, the main design is in the middle and will be clear enough when you stand back and see the whole. The people of the city are the main design. The names in the directories, but for the grace of whom the place becomes an empty mesa and a pincushion of stone, a petrified island of forgotten dividends and cobwebs in the elevator shafts. What that design is, you citizens of sister cities, you hearers on the plains and uplands, sit still and listen. It well may be a special hope, a pattern of felicity to you and to your kids, to fetuses conceived this month and next and ever after. That, as I say, comes later. But it's in the weave if you will stay and look it over with us in a certain light.
Hey, Peggy, look who just come out of that store. Tyrone Power in a uniform.
So what do you want me to do, break a leg?
Pick any street in the city from 1 to 241 and take it over to the laboratory for an X-ray. You will find, on developing both the film and yourself, that the corpus wears a top hat, though its toes stick out, that there are present all the elemental backbone virtues of the species, that sin and sickness appear as shadows on the plate. Nothing extraordinary about that, is there, Doctor? And that all the typical figurations of love, hate, fear, passion, tribulation, joy, grief, are clearly marked and evident.
Oh, Shorty, what's cooking?
What's cooking?
Nothing's cooking. And what do you hear from your boy?
Oh, Manny?
Yeah, Manny.
What I hear from Manny? He's in the South Pacific. That's what I hear from Manny.
Has he been in any fighting?
Has he been in any fighting? You see this handkerchief?
Yeah.
So I'm blowing my nose in it.
So what?
So it comes from a dead Jap officer. That's what.
Do not underestimate these people, for they are you. Do not hate them because the Yankees keep on winning forever. There will come a team out of Cleveland one day, or Boston. Do not mistrust them because of their accent, for we ourselves might be incomprehensible in Oxford.
So I says to him, sure, I'll miss you. Like poison, I'll miss you, I says to him. If you want to see how much I'll miss you, just stick your finger in the pond at Central Park and then pull it out and look at the hole.
One feature you will notice straight away is the congestion from German Yorkville to outlying Latin quarters. Lebensraum is nil. This is true as well of the areas of Ritz and Pate de Foie Gras. For even on those avenues where finger bowls with lilies in them must precede the coffee.
Ever spot a brandy, Edgar?
The next door neighbor breathes down your incinerator shaft. You can't get the real truth about it in an almanac. The guidebooks can only go so far. They're candid enough about how the local girl made good. But just where in the index is the guy who jumped out of a window because he couldn't take it?
Take somebody your size, New York.
The wind off the river may be an authority on conditions in New Jersey, or even in Ohio. But what does it know about a meeting of stockholders at 1 Wall Street at 3 this afternoon?
Total surplus and capital stock, gentlemen.
What knowledge of the shish kebab, stuffed grape, and cabbage leaves available in the Syrian district? How can the Congressional Limited, which goes only as far as the Penn Station, know about the beauty of the women? About the politics of Williamsburg?
Go fight City Hall. That's what I says to him. He got no answer.
How can you tell from seat number 5 on the plane from Pittsburgh what goes on here? Put your nose to the cold window and look out over the starboard wing. Already you're within the city, though it's still 10 minutes to LaGuardia. There's the harbor, crinkled under the influences of a bland wind. The statue of Our Lady of the Freedoms, a green speck in the blue bay, and the downtown cluster of real estate standing cool and reasonable above the vapors. What can you tell from such an altitude of the clip joints and the subway jams and clinics, of cabbages in wholesale market, and of kings in exile, of time and of the river, of star performances at Hayden's Planetarium? Do you know anything of the historic nature of these parts?
George Gershwin slept here.
Of flower salesmen brightening the night?
Get your gardenias! Get your fresh gardenias!
Of exports and imports of
if
the port.
If you wish, very fine cacciatore, a latticini, a fumicata, just to come to Pia della Cioppa, 1275 Bleecker Street, Greenwich Village.
Of the telephone exchanges, the Indians with feathers.
Algonquin 4.
And fat old Dutchmen.
Stuyvesant 995.
And Spanish gold.
Eldorado 5, please.
And Englishmen at
I'm
play.
I'm calling Bowling Green, 99970.
Salut au monde, oh Whitman. Whitman of Manhattan, the sun. We ask of you a sentiment about this place. A line that we can quote for our broadcast.
A great city is that which has the greatest men and women.
We thank you. We thank you in behalf of the conjoined creeds, the Jew, the Christian, the Mohammedan,
the speakers of the foreign and of the ancient tongue.
Exali qui samus domini supplicum praeses, et ken fancet aram tibi passe peccatis, ut parater nobis indulgentiam.
Lord God of hosts, there are very many voters in this town. Your angels would be doing well to know the names of half of them. It is beyond the power of certified public accountants to follow all the comings and goings of the people, to and fro and up and down, especially on weekends and around October 1st. Only the Lord himself could tell just what a man from Harlem thinks this moment, riding downtown on the 8th Avenue Express. Yea, even the hushed transepts of the church might confuse any but the highest.
Good night, darling. Will you call me in the morning?
You mean I can't come in for a while?
No, my mother's sleeping in the front room.
Well, let's stay here on the steps a while, huh?
But I have to punch a clock on Canal Street at 9 in the morning.
Well, how about me? I have to be back at camp.
Well, all right, Ted. Just for a little while.
Yes.
But you'll get lipstick all over.
I'll take that chance.
The season of spring has returned from a winter in South America and has already had certain intimacies with the trees of the public and private parks, as well as the flowers and grasses thereof. It has also appeared in various guises, mostly beguiling but occasionally overcast, with prevailing northeasterly winds. However, on sunny days, somewhat hazy in the morning, clear by noon, it stands leering outside office windows. It fishes for pennies in the gratings of subways and is generally pleased with itself, all the way from Canarsie Marshes to the Yonkers Line. Go down to Kew Gardens in lilac time. It isn't far from Manhattan, and it can be reached easily by taking an E-train on the independent 8th Avenue line or a BMT from Times Square if you want to spend more than a nickel. You can take the Long Island Railroad from Penn Station.
Well, I finally told him. What do you mean you finally told him? He says I only develop an interest in an individual if he happens to be socially conscious.
Believe me, that's some nerve.
Personally, I think it's a compliment. It's a privilege to be socially conscious.
Certainly. After all, it's a very important time in history.
Of course. History's being made
every day.
So I said to him, I told him, Harry, you should read more.
All right, that's the first portion of Columbia Presents Corwin. Now, I think there are two broadcasts of this, one that stars Orson Welles and one that stars Martin Gable. And the one Mike loaded is the one with Orson Welles. I thought he was loading the one with Martin Gable. So I'm going to give you a different broadcast date, folks. This particular episode, same title, is from October 18th, 1942. It is still called New York, A Tapestry for Radio, but it stars Orson Welles. So do mark that down if you are making a note or you want to listen to it on a podcast or taping the show. So Orson Welles starring here on this broadcast of Columbia Presents Corwin. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Fly to the front of the line at Lit Fest on June 9th and 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone at printersrowlitfest.org/festpass. All right, time for the 1:30 news. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Right. You ready, Lisa?
I'm ready, Carl.
Orson Welles, yes. Starring in New York, A Tapestry for Radio. The original broadcast date, October 18th, 1942. Here's the conclusion now to Columbia Presents Corwin.
ball. Where'd you learn to pitch? Italy?
Ah, give him a chance, Charlie.
Oh, Charlie, what's the score? And who's in there pitching? Come on, Charlie. Give us a flash from the ballpark. Crowd is cheering a base hit to right by Mahul, sending Buxton home with a tying run. Oh, yes, Charlie, it's well to relax and a fella needs to get out. But will you not turn to the young Jew beside you, he being a flyer of the Bronx home on convalescent leave, and cheer him for making a base hit, too? The base being Japan and the hit being right down the alley.
Did he not send a bombing run across the plate? How can you tell the players without a scorecard, Charlie? Look at the ribbons on his chest and drop that subscription to the Brooklyn fascist paper you've been reading. The game is almost over, Bud, and the All-Stars are ahead.
Groceries and meat to you in Spanish Harlem. Little Spain out of islands, Caribbean and southerly from here. Brazil, Nicaragua, Colombia, the Argentine. 200,000 people speaking Spanish. A city pan-American within a city American. And further up the line...
I got peanuts, pinders, I got goobles, ground peas.
Negro Harlem listens to a street cry, and it hears a boogie-woogie piano playing a little original composition down there in the rhythm club. But it ain't just song and honeysuckle, neighbor. It's a place of homes and shops. And it contains the biggest Negro concentration in the world. And if you take the trouble to go down and interview the older docks and slips along the island, they will, if they like you, point out the ghosts of rusty, weathered piers where once fat, crowded slave ships put in from profitable hunting grounds of Africa. How many wars ago? Off these same Manhattan shores tonight, the warships of the reunited states ride at anchor, and men of Harlem are aboard.
Got a beep letter from my boy in India yesterday. Said he visited the Taj Mahal, but for his money, don't come up anywhere near to the Empire State Building.
In 750,000 New York windows of all sizes and conditions, the service star gives notice to the passerby that each has sent a delegate to the Convention of the Nations with instructions to shoot on sight. Fire and blood are first on the agenda. And participating in the various contests, east side, west side, all around the world, is the Swede from Bruckner Avenue.
Hey, will you tell Holder to send me a picture of the baby? Here I got a kid 2 years old and I ain't even seen him yet.
And the muscular Greek corporal from 25th Street.
Look, when you go back, will you tell him what we like is Dinah Shore records and a transcription of a Fred Allen show? Personally, I'd appreciate a couple of snappy pin-up girls and a good hot dish of stifado.
And Captain Mahoney of Flatbush, moral stockholder of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
We'll bomb you once again, Japan. You wish you had have stood in bed. We'll give it to you on the lamb. 2-ton shillelaghs on your head.
Oh, G.I. Joe of Manhattan, the sun. Your father came to the city on a big white ship, or a dirty tramp, or a cattle boat. And the ship had a name. But you have slipped down the Hudson in the night on a gray ship, nameless. The hour likewise, anonymous. The compass bearing, sealed inside an envelope. The city of immigrants has emigrated to the wars. The borscht and the pastrami, the feinkuchen and the smorgasbord patiently await the last communique. Meanwhile, Nostrand Avenue is deeply interested in the westward course of landing barges, and a Staten Island ferry full absorbs the evening paper for the latest dope from Tokyo. Americans on this wavelength, can you make out the bright green threads among the lesser colors in this tapestry? The interwoven hopes of those who turn the turnstiles? The dreams held by commuters to the well-kept lawns of Scarsdale and Greenwich? Tune in on Sunnyside. Canvas the gas house and the garment districts. Take a poll of visions on Park Avenue, Hell's Kitchen, and the Bowery. You'll see they aren't so far apart. Just hold the hopes up to a light, one at a time. From Lenox Avenue, for instance.
I just want my boy to come home, that's all, on his own 2 feet. And with a wall won so's it'll stay won.
From Tormund Street near Jay.
I'd like to see my way clear to be able to afford a bathtub in this house.
From West New Brighton.
Won't it be grand to be able to fly in from Westport every morning in a helicopter?
From 9th Street and Avenue D above the garage.
The whole city. If it only could look like the park along Riverside Drive, huh? Roller skating and handball and tennis courts and grass and trees. All new houses instead of these old tenements. Boy, won't that be something.
From Sutton Place South.
Just think, Paul, your branch office in Shanghai, 36 hours across the North Pole. Pelham Bay to Liverpool in 12.
Can a song of hope be sung by the graduating class of PS 166, arranged for symphonic orchestra and choir, and performed at Carnegie? Danced to at Roseland? Given the works by Melchior at the Met? Could be, gentlemen. Could be. Many a hit tune has come from Broadway. Uptown on the downbeat, lads, and take it away. City of Ginsburg and Garibaldi, Koslovsky and Lopez. What are you doing on St. Patrick's Day? Marching, of course, down Fifth Avenue. And what are you doing on San Gennaro's Day? Dancing, of course, along Mulberry Street. The rumor being there are more Italians in New York than in Napoli, or Roma, or Firenze. And the candles on this day, this year, burn brightly for the martyred saint. And though the sweetmeats would be sweeter far if Frankie and Pasquale were home from Okinawa, they taste pretty good as they are. Blessed be the Virgin Mary. And on Bastille Day, the French Republic's Independence Day, hardly a fortnight further into summer than our own, the tricolor is flown beside the flag that Lafayette, a lend-lease general, helped us to get started. Whereas Hungarians and Czechs and Germans, Hindus, Balkans, Portuguese and Danes, they have their little cities within the city, too. Their churches and their restaurants and gift shops, movie houses, newspapers and foreign language programs on the radio.
La ilaha illallah. Ayyuhana salat.
Is there by any chance on the island tonight a visiting fireman from Kansas City who knows somebody in Washington with connections in London? If so, would he kindly take a message to the peace conference? The one that G.I. Joseph of 82nd Street is at the moment still fighting to arrange. And see that there is smuggled in among the representatives the mere hint
of the barest memorandum of a notion. Something for their scratch pads to be scrawled upon and doodled over during deepest thought. A mark, a democratic imprint, a U.S. figuration, a Yankee doodle. This is what it is. Here, in the tall city with a British name, the people of all nations checkering the numbered streets, having come from Warsaw, having come from Plymouth, Kleinwardein and Chongqing, having come from Africa and Oslo and Caracas, having worked and played and voted, loved and listened to the radio, fought in the wars and paid for them as well, having kept their customs and their languages, played their own sweet music on the fiddle and accordion, did nevertheless find time to rear and populate the greatest city in the world and make of it a symbol celebrated up and down the longitudes. You see, it can be done. Yea, make a note of it. Can be done. You have it on the solemn word and deed of all the five boroughs, gentlemen, that nothing is impossible. Do but consult the main design and see, in miniature, the nations living side by side so effortlessly. No one calls it peace. Yea, block to block and house to house and door to door, they get along. With scraps betimes, a little botheration such as happens in the best of families, but never anything a court or pre-election can take care of. Now then, you want to buy a rug? Very fine. A bargain? Genuine American? Then take a look at this. Oriental in parts, but all the compass points come into it, and see, the main design. Is that a hope, or isn't it? A hope that out of little people, greatnesses, and towering accomplishments, rapid transits to tomorrow morning, and fraternity along the grand concourse. Ahoy, the century ahead! Announce it in lights above Broadway, and post it in the public library. Workers, lovers, kids, and patriots, near and far, along the mainstream and lesser eddies of the network. Greetings from the city. Greetings.
You have been listening to Orson Welles, an especially requested repeat performance of New York, A Tapestry for Radio, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin as the fourth in the current series of Columbia Presents Corwin. Mr. Welles is soon to be seen in international pictures, Tomorrow is Forever. In tonight's production, Charles Lewin and Lou Ashworth assisted Mr. Corwin in the production. The musical score was by Frederick Steiner, and the orchestra was directed by Lud Gluskin. Next week at this time, Columbia presents Corwin's newest play, A Walk with Nick, co-starring two of the screen's most accomplished young actors, John Hodiak, and Joan Loring. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Orson Welles starring in New York, A Tapestry for Radio on the Columbia Presents Corwin series from October 18, 1942, as heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Dr. Kevin Most checks in with Steve Cochran Show to talk about COPD, new treatments in cancer, and the Cuban vaccine Monday morning at 6:40 on 720 WGN.
The Cuban vaccine.
Yeah, don't you know about that?
No.
Oh, well, you should.
What about
you
it?
You should get it.
If I have that vaccine, what'll happen?
Oh,
I won't like,
what won't yeah. happen is
I won't
the question.
Like Cuban sandwiches anymore, or what's the deal?
And this is not a joking matter, Carl. Well,
hang on a second.
You know, you can unplug that right there.
You know
there.
What? I really think that you should listen in at 6:40
Cuban sandwiches
and learn something.
Good stuff.
They're fabulous.
6:40 Monday morning Cochran Show. Maybe you'll learn something.
What time?
6:40 a.m.
Not up
Monday
that.
Morning.
Not, that, not up that. Not after I go to bed at 5 a.m.
5? We're
time,
done at 2.
What a time! By the time I get home.
It's a long shower.
From here, yeah. Drive home and then take
a shower
and then a bath because I like, you know.
He's a little anal about certain things.
Yeah.
I'm all about hygiene.
So you need a shower and a bath?
No.
Oh.
I take a shower usually.
It's the brushing of the teeth. That's
yeah, well,
it.
That is time consuming.
You know, you have a lot of teeth. You got to brush each one of them for
it's
a little
while. It's the flossing
while.
And the brushing and, you know, that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Soon enough, you'll be able to just take them out and stick them in a glass.
Yeah, yeah. Like little Polident, and they're all good as new.
My teeth are like the stars. They come out at night.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Good one, Carl.
Again, unplug that
good
from
one.
Right there.
Luckily, we can change the subject
that's
and talk
true.
To Dave Flyer, who has joined us. I know you've got a great show.
Yeah, I'm filling in for
morning.
Myself today, so I'm kind of excited
good
about that.
Good to have you back.
Yeah.
We missed
thank
you.
Thank you.
it wasn't the same without you.
Oh, stop. Oh, you're embarrassing
no,
me.
No, I didn't. It definitely wasn't the same.
Who is that down there? John Hansen?
Yeah, it is. No, it is Dave. It is Dave filling in okay. for Dave. I'm filling in for myself, as I said earlier today. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to
do
be back.
Do you both wear the same size clothes?
No. Oh. No, nothing like that. No. No, it's been, yeah, I've had a couple weeks off.
When you
it's
fill
been,
in for yourself.
When you fill in for yourself, yeah.
I got yeah. it. I just, yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
I'm fast that
Lisa's
way.
Lisa's a little slow.
Yeah. No, I am not slow.
But look at those
so
dimples.
What's happening?
You see the dimples on her? Look at those things.
Oh, well, she's
they're huge.
She's blocking them.
They are.
I'm a dimple blocker.
I'm going to bring spackle, and you and I will each have one dimple to spackle
nice.
Next week.
All right. Okay.
All right. So what's on the show?
What is on the show? I got to get back in the swing of things here. Well, you know, it is Record Store Day, or the tail end of it. What was the
yes.
first vinyl album you ever bought? What was it?
I saw that. I know
mine,
exactly.
I know exactly what mine was.
What's ladies first?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right.
Go
mine
ahead.
Was the Carpenters.
Oh, okay.
In the
all
70s.
Right. Okay.
74-ish, 75-ish. Okay. It was the best of Carpenters.
Cool. And would you,
I
do you remember
felt
where?
Like, well, yeah, of course, it's
Rolling
Kmart.
Rolling Stone Records.
Kmart, yeah. Yeah,
Kmart's
they had a big
where
music
I
department.
Bought my records.
Yeah.
Rolling
and
Stone Record.
I felt like I was Karen Carpenter, and that was my calling.
That was
and
your thing.
I was going to grow up and become a singer just like her, so I felt if I could sing like her,
yeah.
then I would just emulate her and sound just like
I
her.
I like that. I
so
like that.
I worked toward that. It didn't work out for me, but
okay,
but I had
enough.
Fun trying.
And Carl and I grew up in the same hood, so Stones would be yeah. the place. What was the album?
I was just going to say, with Karen Carpenter, you know, she was really good with repairs around the house. You know why? She was a carpenter.
She was a carpenter.
He's quick.
Couldn't resist.
What was the album?
The first album I ever bought was Fleetwood Mac, Rumors.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
all
when
right.
was that?
Later. 2018,
yeah,
17,
that was much
right
later.
2016.
Much later.
I might have been right across the street at Music. It was called Music Works before Music Land. That was across the street
Music
from Rolling
Works.
Stones. And I ended up running that store actually for years. I ended up working there.
Wow,
of course you did. Yeah. Did you have like really long hair?
I had a ponytail.
Well, he had hair.
Oh,
so. He
had a ponytail.
I had a ponytail.
Uh-oh.
And an earring. The whole nine yards.
Wow.
Yeah. That was it was the '80s. '84 junior year in high school.
Earring and a ponytail.
11 years in that business.
I need to see some pictures. picture.
I would like that.
I have a picture also, probably from the early 90s when I lived in Minneapolis, and Musicland was sponsoring a concert with a radio station called KDWB, and their morning host was Steve Cochran. And there's a picture of Steve and I that I have.
Wow,
yeah, from the early 90s. He had a mullet. He had like a almost like a curly mullet in the back.
Why do radio guys have bad hair usually? I don't know.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the music industry. There would be no hair up front. It would be just. I mean, it would be.
Most radio guys don't have good hair.
Yeah, that's.
Why is that?
Well, yeah. Why
I guess
is
because
that?
We don't need to.